Okay, we're up to the Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph in Rosh Hashanah, the third perek. Let's read a new Mishnah. Kol ha-shofaros ksheirim chutz mishel para. We assume that all shofaros, whatever kind of shofar you want to use for the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they are all going to be acceptable, except for the shofar that comes from a para, that comes from a cow. Mipnei shehu keren, because that is not called a shofar, that is what we refer to as a keren, even though it looks the same and it might sound the same and it might be the same. However, the way that we refer to it is not as a shofar, it is referred to by a different name, and therefore we assume you would not be able to fulfill your mitzvah with that. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says, how do you tell me that the reason why we cannot use a shofar that comes from a cow is because it's called a keren? V'halo kala shofar is nikru keren. Don't we know that all shofars in the world are not only referred to as a shofar, but all shofars are also called by a second name called a keren? And therefore he says, as we learn from the Pasuk, Shenabra Mibsho Chayovel Bekeren, and therefore he assumes that the same way we're allowed to use any regular shofar in the world, which is referred to both as a shofar and a keren, so too we are allowed to use the shofar that comes from a cow, because that is no different. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, this would seem to be a very obvious argument that Rabbi Yossi is making. If he's right, what do you mean? We know how to speak Hebrew. So is he right or is he wrong? What are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi really has a good question. Again, Rabbi Yossi says, all the shofars in the world are referred to by two names. You can refer to them either as a shofar or as a keren. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi argues that a shofar from a cow would be acceptable. So doesn't he put forth a good argument? Says the Gemara, how did the Rabbanan argue back and say that still we're going to feel that a shofar that comes from a cow is going to be unacceptable? The Rabbanan are going to answer back as follows. Yes, you're right. Kala shofaros ikru shofar v'ikru keren. You're right. All shofars in the world are referred to by two different names, either as a shofar or as a keren. However, depara, when we talk about the horn of a cow, that is keren ikri, shofar lo ikri. That we only refer to as a keren. We do not refer to that as a shofar ever. And therefore, when the Torah says that you have to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we assume that that is coming to exclude the horn of a cow. Dichsiv. Now, how do we know that that's true? Because the pasuk says, "Bechor sharo harder lo, v'karnei re'em karnav." So from there, the Rabbanan learn that you see that a regular animal has the reference of its horns to be both a keren and a shofar. However, a cow does not have that. So that's what the Rabbanan hold. V'Rabbi Yossi Amar Lach. What does Rabbi Yossi answer? He says, "Deparanami ikri shofar." I don't know what you're talking about, says Rabbi Yossi. When you have the horn of a cow, that is also referred to as a shofar. So a cow should be no worse than any other animal. D'chsiv, v'sitev l'Hashem ishar par, that this should be, my tefillah should be even closer to Hashem ishar par. Now what does that mean? Imshar lama par, v'impar lama shor. Why are we talking about an ox and a cow? What do they have to do with each other? Says the Gemara, elamai shar par. It's a play on the words, which means shofar. So that's the argument Rabbi Yossi puts forth. V'rabbanan, and Rabbanan say back as follows, Kidrav Masna, the Amar of Masna, my shor par. What does it mean in the Pasuk when we refer to a shor, an ox, and a par, and a cow together, one after the other? Shehu gadol kepar. The Gemara says that it has to be something that is big like a cow. Okay, so that's a side discussion about how exactly we're going to read the Pesukim, whether or not we assume that a horn of a cow is called a shofar or a keren, or both or neither. So that's the discussion. Let's leave that for now. Ula Amar, Ula says, no, you got it all wrong. You're saying that the disagreement in the Mishnah about whether or not we're allowed to use the horn of a cow is really because we're not sure whether or not it's referred to as a keren or as a shofar. It's not true. Ula Amar, there's a whole different machlokas going on here. Hainu Taima de Rabbanan. Ula says, what's the reason why the Chachamim say you are not allowed to use, you're not able to fulfill your obligation of shofar on Rosh Hashanah with the shofar shalpar? Kidrav Chisda. Damar Rav Chisda, mipnei ma in kohen gadol nichnas bebigdei zahav lifnai velifnim la'avod avoda. We know that the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur does some avoda inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he does some of the avoda outside. And the Mishnayos and Yuma go through a whole lengthy discussion about how he's supposed to do the avoda, and how many times he changes his clothing, and how he goes to the mikveh, and all the different details of that. Now we know there's a major difference between doing the avoda inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the avoda that's done on the outside. When he goes inside, he wears only the white clothing. When he goes on the avoda on the outside, he wears the beautiful golden clothing. So the Gemara asks, wouldn't it make sense if you have a beautiful set of clothing made out of pure gold, wouldn't it make sense that when he goes into the holiest place, when he's going into the Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim one time a year, wouldn't it make sense that he should wear the golden clothing? That's the most prestigious clothing that he has. So why doesn't he wear that? Says the Gemara. Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas bebigdei zav lifnai v'lifnim lavad avoda. At the time that he's doing the avoda lifnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadosh and once a year, why is he not wearing the beautiful clothing? Says the Gemara, because we have a principle of fi she'ein kateger nasa saneger. You cannot have something which serves as the prosecutor serving as the defendant. That's the play on the words, but what does it basically mean? That we all know that there was a big, big mistake that happened with the gold back many generations ago. What was that? Egel Azav. So we don't want to have the Egel Azav having any part in his experience inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore when you go inside, you make sure to wear only white clothing because we don't want to remind God about the mistake of the Egel Azav. Ask the Gemara, really, is that true? That we say, we take this so seriously, En Kateger Nasa Saneger because of the Egel, V'ha'ika Dampar. Don't we know that you have the sprinkling of the blood of a cow? And a cow, the Egel Azav was a cow. So what do you mean? You're telling me the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the golden clothing inside because that's going to be like the Egel Azav. What about the cow itself that we just shechted and now he goes and he sprinkles the blood right there? So why aren't we concerned about that? Says the Gemara, nah, we don't have to be worried about the blood because Hoel v'ishtani ishtani. Once you already shechted the cow and now it's not alive anymore and now all you have the remnants of the cow are blood, so that's not going to be a problem of Enka Teger Nasa Sunday. We'll talk more about this in a minute. Ask the Gemara, okay, so you got the cow out of the way, but the clothing of the Kohen Gadol is still a problem. I'm sorry, the Kohen Gadol is still a problem, and that's why he has to wear only white when he goes inside. Ask the Gemara, Vahayika Aron V'Kapores Ukruv. May I ask you, says the Gemara, what did we construct the Aron from? Which materials did we use? Obviously we used Mikshazel, we used pure gold to construct the Aron, and the covering on top of the Aron, and the Kruvim. So you're telling me the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the clothing inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. What about the Aron that's there all year? I'm not concerned about that. Says the Gemara, no. All we mean to say is Chote Bal Yakriv Kamrina. We mean, when you have somebody who did something wrong, he shouldn't be going ahead and wearing those clothing. So the Jewish people did something wrong, we shouldn't go ahead and be wearing it. But to have a stationary Aron Kodesh that's going to stay there all year long, made out of gold, nothing to be concerned about. Ask the Gemara, really? You mean to tell me whenever you have somebody who's doing Avoda, and he's partially responsible for an Avera that took place, he's not allowed to have gold, and that's why the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the clothing? V'ha'ika kaf umachta. Don't we know that the kaf was the spoon and the machta is the pan that the Kohen Gadol used? Those are made out of pure gold. So how are those allowed to be used? Again, here you have a Jewish person, the Kohen Gadol, is using an item in order to fulfill his requirement of Avoda, and yet he's using something that's made out of gold. Why is that any different than the clothing that he's not allowed to wear, lifnai v'lifnim? Answers the Gemara, no, what we mean to say is, chote bal yisna kamrina. We mean, you shouldn't put on the golden clothing to make yourself look so beautiful. You're not all that beautiful. If you're going to wear gold clothing that reminds us of a terrible sin, it's not all that great. But to go and use a pan or a spoon, that's something that is not a problem at all because you're not beautifying yourself by using that. That's l'kavod avoda, that's not l'kavod you. Says the Gemara, v'ha'ika bigdei zav mibachutz. So again, if you're so nervous about the Kohen Gadol not wearing the clothing because of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, and that's why when he goes in lefnai v'lifnim, he has to wear the white, what about the fact that when he stands outside and he does all the avoda all day long outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's wearing the golden clothing? How come no one's concerned about that? Says the Gemara, no, mibifnim kamrina. The only problem that we have about Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger is when you have him going lifnai v'lifnim. But when he's doing avoda, not in the inner constructs of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's not to be concerned about. Ask the Gemara. Let's not forget where we started. Why did we get into the whole discussion about Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? We started from our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Perhaps you're not allowed to use a shofar shalpara. You're not allowed to use a shofar made from a cow because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. Ask the Gemara. You're telling me only time Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger is a problem is when you're lifnai v'lifnim inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's why the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to wear his golden clothing outside, but he can't wear them inside. But outside, we're not concerned at all because he's not lifnai v'lifnim. So then how do you say that that's the pshat in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says the reason why you're not allowed to have a shofar from a cow is because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. What do you mean? I blow the shofar here in my shul. I don't blow the shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what's the problem of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? It would seem not to fit here at all. So answers the Gemara, Kivan de Lizikaranu Kibifnim Dami. Says the Gemara, since shofar is supposed to be like a Zikaran, it's supposed to bring our tefillos up straight to the Kisei HaKava, therefore it's the same as the Kohen Gadol going Lefnai V'Lefnim. Now that's already a stretch, that's already fancy. But the Gemara assumes that blowing a shofar is considered some elevated tefillah that's way beyond any normal tefillah that you ever would daven, and that's like the Kodesh HaKadoshim experience that the Kohen Gadol has on Yom Kippur, which is an amazing thing to consider. I don't think any of us think about the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah as if we are the Kohen Gadol standing inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time, but that's what the Gemara says. Yeah?
Why is that different than the blood? Once the shofar is removed, it has a different, it's a different entity.
It's still the cow. What do you mean?
No, but just like the blood's also.
It's not a shtani, it didn't change. The blood now has changed, right?
And when you take that horn off, it hasn't changed?
It's the same horn, same thing, right? It's not the same as blood. So the Gemara asks, Vahatana, what do you mean? You're telling me the whole reason why you're not allowed to use that shofar from a cow is because Enkateger Nasa Saneger. What do you mean? The Mishnah says a different reason. The Mishnah says the reason why is because it's not called a shofar, it's because it's called a keren. Ask the Gemara about Tana Mepneshu Keren, Kamar. Doesn't the Tana in our Mishnah say the reason why a shofar of a par is disqualified is because it's not referred to as a shofar, rather it's referred to as a keren? Says the Gemara, you're right. Chada Aviyot Kamar. The Gemara means to say, the Mishnah means to tell us that we have two reasons why you can't use it. Either because Chada Mishum de Enkateger Nasa Saneger. One reason is because, like we just discussed, Enkateger Nasa Saneger V'yod, and secondly, Mepnei Shehu Keren, because it's not referred to as a shofar. And Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees, Rabbi Yossi, again, in our Mishnah, felt that you are allowed to use a shofar even from a cow. What does he believe? He says, Deka'amrit Enkateger Nasa Saneger, you're telling me you're not allowed to use the shofar because Enkateger Nasa Saneger, what are you talking about? Ha'ani Mili Mi Bifnim, that's only by the Kohen Gadol, who's going Lefnai V'Lefnim, he has to change his clothing. But the rest of us who are blowing shofar, hi shofar mibachutsu. We're blowing the shofar outside in our own shuls. That's not considered like the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, so Enkateger Nasa Saneger is not a factor there at all. And the second question of the Ka'amir Bipneshu Karen, Kala Shofar is Nami Ikru Karen. He says, both tainas that you have, both questions that you raised about using a shofar from a cow, number one, Enkateger Nasa Saneger, I don't go by that problem because that's only when you're Lefnai V'Lefnim, when you're inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here, you're not. So here, there's no problem of Enkateger Nasa Saneger, says Rabbi Yossi. What do we hold? We hold Shofar's Kilefnim Dami. We hold the experience of blowing Shofar is like it's bringing us inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the second question that you raised about using this Shofar is, a Shofar is not called a Shofar when it's from a cow. So Rabbi Yossi argues, no, I think it is called a Shofar. Okay, so that's that. Now says the Gemara, we'll get back to Enkateger in a minute, I just want to finish off the Gemara so we have the flow. Abayi Yamar Abayi says no. Hainu Tamei de Rabbanan. Why do the Rabbanan say that you're not allowed to use a shofar made from a cow? Because shofar, what do they change here? Shofar Echad, most important word. Shofar Echad Amar Achmana Velo Shnayim Ushlosho Shofars. The Torah says you have to go ahead and blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Torah does not say you should use two or three shofars in order to hear that sound. It means you should take one piece of a shofar, of a horn, and blow from that. You cannot take a bunch of horns and tie them to each other or tape them to one another and then listen to that sound, even if it's going to sound the same. There's a gzeres hakasav that you need shofar echad amar rachmana velo shtayim ushlosha shofar. So let's say you take one shofar and you put it in. Let's say sometimes you have a shofar that's very hollow in the inside. So if you're going to put another shofar inside of that first shofar, I don't know why you would do that, and another one inside of that, even if the sound is going to come out the same, still, you're not allowed to do that because shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shtayim v'shlosha shofars. And therefore what? Baha de para, and by the horn that grows on a cow, kivin de kai gildi gildi, since every year of its life it grows another layer, so to speak, on the shofar itself, mischazi kishnayim v'shlosha shofars. It looks like you have so many layers inside of the shofar, it looks like it's not a good shofar because that's not one shofar. It looks like you put one inside of the other. Many Bali Musar say that when the Gemara says over here, Shofar Echad Amar Achmana, we're supposed to remind ourselves of the fact that we're so inconsistent. We talk out of many sides of our mouths. So very often, we're Shtayim V'Shlosha Shofaros, we'll say one thing, say another thing, we'll tell our children to do this, but really it's not what we do in our own private life. Or in Shul, we'll tell everybody, this is the right way to act and that's the right way to do. Meanwhile, in privacy, you're acting totally different. So the Bali Musar say on Rosh Hashanah is a good time to remind ourselves that Shofar echad amar rachmana. We should be living lives of consistency. We should be living lives of not contradictory feelings and contradictory statements. We should be living by the same principles that we preach. And this is something that's important to think about on Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, it's just a Musar shmuz, but that's what some want to say from this Gemara. There is an interesting question that's raised by some Achronim, that over here the Gemara says that perhaps the reason you're not allowed to use a shofar made of a parah is because we consider that to be shtayim v'shlosha shofaros. Since the parah, every year, the nature of the cow is that every year it grows an extra layer, an added layer on top of the shofar, therefore that's considered like shtayim v'shlosha shofaros. It's not a singular shofar, it's made up of a few shofaros, one inside the other. So there are those who ask the following question, that the Mishnah says in Gittin that you can write a get on whatever you want, and the Gemara says over there that you can even write it on keren shel hapara. You're even able to write it on the horn of a cow. Now, why would you do that? I have no idea. But if there was some paper shortage and all you have is the horn of a cow, so that's good enough to do the get on. So the problem is that the Gemara later on there in Gittin says, Sefer Echad, because of La Sefer Krisus, he has to write to his wife his Sefer Krisus. The Gemara learned that pasuk, Sefer Echad Amar Achmana, Velo Shtayim Mishlosha Svarim. You're not allowed to have the get written on one piece of paper and then, oh, we don't have enough room, we're going to write it on another one. Everything has to be on one piece of paper. As big as the paper could be, it doesn't make a difference, but has to be on one Sefer, can't be on two separate Svarim. So the question is, if you're going to say that the horn of a parah is considered like Shtayim Mishlosha Sofaros, that the reason why we're not allowed to use it on Rosh Hashanah is because it's considered like it has so many layers, so it's like not one shofar. So isn't that also a problem of Sefer Echad Amar Rachmana? How are you allowed to write a get on it? Shouldn't that be considered like using two different shofaros? Or there are others who want to say by an esrog also. The Gemara says that esrog hatiyum is kasher. The Gemara says that if you have an esrog that's like a Siamese twin, so I don't know what you call that by a fruit, but if you have two esrogim basically that are attached to the other, to one another, so the Gemara says that you're allowed to use that for your mitzvah of Dalad Minim on Sukkot. So some Achronim say, isn't that a problem of Shtayim v'shlosha Esrogim? The Torah says you should take one Esrog. Isn't that like taking two Esrogim, just like over here, when it grows bigger, so we should assume that it's considered like a problem of Shtayim v'shlosha Shofar. So, it's not really a question, I don't think. They're not at all similar.
At the same time, the shofar and the cord keeps on adding on.
Yep, so there's a lot of different ways that the Achronim get out of this question. I don't know, I don't think the question is so compelling. I think it's more of just a Bekiah's question. You know, they point out that in other places we also have a drasha of Sefer Echad Amar Achmana, just like Shofar Echad Amar Achmana and Esrog Echad. So they're just putting all the things together, but I don't think the question is such a compelling question. Either way, our Gemara says again, basically there are two reasons why we would find that perhaps a shofar made from a cow would not be able to be used. Either number one, says the Gemara, in kateger nasa saneger, or number two, says the Gemara, perhaps because that doesn't follow the qualifications of shofar echad amar achmana velo shtayim u'shlosha shofaros. Because since we know that a cow every year, the shofar keeps growing as it's on the body of the cow, therefore it would look like it's shtayim u'shlosha shofaros, which would pose a problem as far as fulfilling your obligation of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So now, I don't know enough about animals, but seemingly that's what the Gemara is assuming. So now let's get into the discussion of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. We have in Parsha Shemini, the Pasuk tells us that there were many karbanos that were brought when they were mechanech lebeis hamigdash, when they were mechanech lemishkan, the Chanukas hamishkan. So there it says, Vayomer el Aaron. So there's a tzivui, there's a command to Aaron our Kohen. Kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatos at the very beginning of Parsha Shmini. So Aaron is told to take a egel ben bakar lechatos va'ayu le'olah t'mimim v'hakrev lefnei Hashem. Now, does anyone think this is strange? Aaron HaKohen is told specifically that he should take an egel. Rashi writes over there, why is Aaron HaKohen singled out when they open up the Mishkan? Right away, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Aaron and he says, take an egel and bring it as a korban. Why? Says Rashi, Leodialo, to inform Aaron, She mechaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al egel zeh al maisa ha'egel. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to tell Aaron, yes, I know you made a mistake, and I know you were involved in the whole story of the egel, and I know it wasn't the right thing that came out of it, but if you bring this egel now, that will get you out of the problem, out of the mistake that you made a couple of years ago. That's what we're told. Now the problem is, we know over here in our Gemara, what are we told? The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to wear the big days of into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. So you're going to tell me, on the one hand, I'm not allowed to wear the big days of into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. At the same time, you're going to tell Aaron HaKohen specifically that he should go out of his way and take an Egel, nothing else, but an Egel itself, and bring that as a carbon. Isn't that Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? So how does this make sense with the principle that we just learned of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? The gold is the problem, not the ego?
Yeah, maybe in that form, only in that form. Only in that gold, you know.
So again, so I'm using gold that's not at all looking like an ego. I'm using gold that's woven into the gadim. You're saying that that's worse than an ego?
Then it wouldn't be a reason for it. It's only gold.
Correct. Okay. Correct. That's correct. If it's only gold, it wouldn't be a reason. So some Achronim say as follows, yeah? Okay.
This is the kapara, as opposed to when he goes into, he doesn't do any avoda, he's just wearing gold on to anoint himself.
So it's a good question. It's okay. Now, it's interesting to note that our Gemara says the reason why a Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the begadim inside, lefnai v'lefnim, the beautiful gold clothing, is because Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. The Yerushalmi says the reason why is because he's like a malach, and the malachim, the pasuk says, u'levushe ketlag chiver, the pasuk says in Navi, that we have the malachim are referred to as those individuals who wear white clothing. So the Kohen Gadol should act like a malach and wear white clothing as well, which is interesting. My father told me the first time I davened for the Yamud on Yom Naraim, my father told me that there are different reasons given why you wear a kittel on Yom Naraim. Not everybody wears, but the Chazan certainly wears. So my father told me he thought the reason was because the Kohen Gadol is like the Chazan on Yom Kippur is serving like the Kohen Gadol. He's saying the Avodah, he's saying all the Karbanos, and he's serving for us like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So you should wear, not, my father told me, you shouldn't wear a Shmata. You know, generally the kittels are a big shita that we leave in the coat room all year, and then whoever's the chazan takes it out. So my father said he never understood it. That's not the right attitude you're supposed to have. If on Yom Kippur the reason why you're the chazan and you're wearing the kittel is because you're like the Kohen Gadol, you should wear a beautiful beged. You shouldn't wear a little shmata that's been sitting in the coat room all year that doesn't really fit you. So that was his feeling. So that's why I got a nice kittel. Anyway, that's what it says. But basically, the Yerushalmi says that's the reason why perhaps we wear white, the Kohen Gadol wears white, either because it's like a malach, who wears only white clothing. Or our Gemara says the reason why is because Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. But either way, if you assume the reason of our Gemara of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger, how do you understand the story by Aaron? In Parsha Shmini, Aaron is told to go and bring, offer an Egel Azav. Why is he told to do that? Isn't that a violation of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger? So some Achronim suggest as follows. Yes, that's exactly what you were saying. Some say, yes, we have a problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger. So here I'm going to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wear the gold, and remind God of the Aveira of the Egel? That's not a good idea. It's not a good thing to do. However, think about what happened by Aaron HaKohen. He's taking the Egel, he's taking the item that we don't like, and he's destroying it, and he's getting rid of it, and he's burning it, and he's shechting it. So what better way is there to get rid of a remembrance of an Egel Azav mistake than to take that very item and go and destroy it in the Beis HaMikdash and burn it on the Mizbeach? So some Achronim say, that's why Aaron HaKohen had no problem with Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger there, because over there we were talking about a case where he's taking the item itself and exterminating it from the world. And what better way is there to get over the Egel than to get rid of any remembrance, any semblance of an Egel at all? That's what some want to suggest. It's a very nice, fancy answer. However, it's against our Gemara. It's against our Gemara. Why is it against our Gemara? It's against our Gemara because what emerges from our Gemara is that the only time we have a problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger is when you're doing Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is not what Aaron HaKohen was doing. He wasn't doing Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time, and therefore our Gemara says any time you have Avoda Bachutz, there's no problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger, which is why the Kohen Gadol is able to wear the gold clothing outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is why the rest of Yom Kippur is allowed to wear the gold clothing and there's no problem at all, because the only time we have a problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger is when you're inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. So, if that's the understanding, so then you're back to the question by Aaron HaKohen. Now,
the question goes away.
Why?
Because he's not doing it in the Kodesh
HaKadoshim. Oh, you're saying so there's no problem of Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger at all? Very good. You're right, correct. Meaning, I'm sorry, so you don't have to give fancy answers and say that it's because he's getting rid of it. There's no question in the first place, correct. Thank you.
What's the
Which one second, he had a question, yeah?
What's the
I mean, even if you had the question, let's say it was done, right? But you would have to say that it just doesn't apply, because the purpose behind it would be that when you're going to ask kapara, they don't have the things that we did a chait with.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's a kadosh baruch hu, right? You said it's a kadosh baruch hu simply saying, go bring an eagle because I forgive you.
Meaning he's instructing us to do it. So it's different.
The whole purpose is to bring the eagle to show. It's not that Aaron is not there asking kapara for the eagle. This is a kadosh baruch hu telling Aaron.
This is the way to get over it.
So therefore, the whole concept doesn't really apply there.
Good. That's good. Okay, yeah.
Now, just a question. Gemara, why is Gemara's question then the dam part as opposed to
the part itself, right?
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. This whole question is against our Gemara. Yeah, I don't like the whole question. The Achronim are bothered by the Kasha. I don't think the Kasha is a Kasha. If you read the Gemara carefully, it seems that everything they're discussing is not like our Gemara. So if our Gemara's assumption is correct, that Ein Kateger Nasas HaNeger only poses a problem when you're doing Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're left with a major, major question, with a major problem, because we have a Tosis in Yevamos Dav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us clearly that a Kohen Shehareges HaNefesh, a regular Kohen who unfortunately is involved in a murder. Let's say he's in a car accident and unfortunately someone gets killed as a result of his mistake. So the Gemara says he's still allowed to continue to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. However, he's not allowed to be Nosei Eskapov. Kohen Shehareges HaNefesh, for whatever reason, is not allowed to go up and Duchen any longer. If he's involved in somebody else losing their life, he cannot serve as a Kohen for Nosei Eskapaim. Tosis writes in Yevamos, why not? If we know that a Kohen is allowed to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, even if he killed someone, so how come he cannot go ahead and Duchen? Duchening should be less than Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosis gives one answer, which is difficult, that they made an extra Chumr by Nesias Kapayim. That's exactly the question. Why? So that's answer number one. Answer number two is, no, En Kateger Nasas HaNeger. Those hands that you use to kill someone, you're going to now take those same hands and offer a bracha on them. Right, we assume the Shekhinah is on the hands of the Kohanim, or whatever it is, the bracha is rolling off the hands. You're going to go and use those same hands that you held the gun in, that you held the steering wheel in. Now you're going to go ahead and use those same hands to do a Birchas Kohanim. Therefore, Tosa says, En Kateger Nasas HaNeger. You cannot go ahead and do that. And there's a whole discussion in the contemporary Achronim, from the last generation, I guess, between Rabbi Avadia and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik, about what is the status of a modern-day Chayal, let's say, who's in the Israeli army, who part of his job is sometimes he has to kill people who are necessary to be eliminated. So what are you going to tell him? Now he's not allowed to duchen anymore? Going to tell him now that he did what he was supposed to do, now that he eliminated a terrorist, now you're going to tell me the next day when he goes to shul in Eretz Yisrael, it's a big problem. They duchen every day. So you're going to tell me the next day he can't go duchen? So Rav Soloveitchik said, yes, he's not allowed to duchen because we find by David HaMelech he wasn't allowed to build Beis HaMikdash. Dam l'Rav Shafachta, even though, what do you think? David HaMelech was walking around the streets just murdering people? No, he was involved in Melchemes Mitzvah. And yet we're told that David HaMelech was not worthy of building the Beis HaMikdash because he had blood on his hands. Doesn't matter what the reason was, but he wasn't able to do it. So Rav Soloveitchik said he was disqualified from building the Beis HaMikdash. So to a Kohen nowadays, even if he's doing it for the right reasons, he's not allowed to duchen, even if he's doing it in a context of a Melchemes Mitzvah. That was the opinion of Rav Soloveitchik. I once gave a shiur on this, and then it was posted online. And there was a Chayal in Eretz Yisrael who sent me an email the next day. Very interesting. He sent me an email that he listened to the shiur, and he wanted to know the following. He said, if you follow Rav Soloveitchik's opinion that after a Chayal goes ahead and does his job and eliminates the terrorist, he's not allowed to duchen, he told me that he's a sniper. This guy told me he's a sniper. So he said that, I don't know anything about army and tachsisei amlachama, what do I know, but he explained to me the whole story, that there are two different people who are necessary in order for a sniper to be able to do his job. One is the shooter, and one is the scouter. Now, if you don't know what a shooter is and what a scouter is, I'll explain it the same way he explained it to me. You have one person who pulls the trigger, and you have somebody else who sets everything up and is looking in the scope and everything. I don't know what he's doing exactly, but when he says go, the other one shoots. But if you don't have the first one, you're not going to hit the target. So you need these two people to work in tandem. The scouter never shoots. It's a different chachma. To know how to scout is one thing, and to know how to shoot is one thing. So the two of them meet each other. The guy wrote to me that he's the scouter. So he says, I myself am never involved in the shooting. But without me, the other one can't be killed. The other one can't do his job. So he wanted to know, what would Rav Soloveitchik say when you have the scouter, who's not really shooting, but he's the one who's the accomplice to the murder, and without him, he wouldn't be able to do his job? What would Rav Soloveitchik say about him? Interesting question.
You can ask that about any person in the army.
Anyone in the army? What do you mean?
Because they're all one unit. So
they're one unit, but they're not.
The truck, he's driving the truck to bring soldiers to the front.
That's not the same as somebody who's literally standing there and you can't shoot without him. It's not.
It comes from the hands. He didn't use his hands.
So that's the question. So that was the question. So Rabbi Willig, I saw him the next day. He thought the question was crazy. He's like, well, what are you talking about? No way. That wouldn't be a problem. And my father thought it was a great question. My father thought maybe that's grammar tzicha. He thought that it was what to think about. Anyway, I think I wrote back to him, unless you're a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, I really don't think you have to follow his opinion here. I think that his opinion was very much outvoted by his contemporaries. And unless you're somebody that always follows his opinion, I don't think that you have to go stand on your head to follow his opinion in this case, especially when it's very uncomfortable in Eretz Yisrael when they duchen every day and you're going to have to sit in your seat and never be able to do it for the rest of your life just because you're a scouter and just because you're a chayal in the army. I don't know.
But compare it to a crime?
So one second. So that's the question that we're getting to. So Rav Moshe and Rav Zeitchik both discussed the issue. Rav Avadi Yosef also. So some say the reason why it's permissible is because the only time that you're not allowed to go ahead and Duchin, if you're Horeg HaNefesh, is if you're Horeg Nefesh Yisrael. That's what the Prisha says. But if you're Horeg Nefesh Akum, not that we don't value the lives of non-Jews, but there that wouldn't be the same halacha, and therefore we would assume that you would be allowed to Duchin. And many disagree. What do you mean? What do you think? Ritzicha is mutter? Obviously, you're not allowed to go ahead and kill non-Jews. Nobody would ever say such a thing. So why should it be any different just because you killed a Jew or a non-Jew? Either way, you have blood on your hands, you're responsible for a murder, so you can't use those hands to go and Duchin. So what's the reason? So what would you say over here? What's the reason why we should allow it? So others suggest maybe the reason why is because the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say unfortunately you have a Moel who's involved in doing a bris milah, and he's doing a mitzvah, but he has herpes and whatever, and he's a Kohen, and he goes ahead and he does mitzitza bepet. So now he's responsible, maybe, I don't know, controversial statement, but now he's perhaps, maybe, responsible for killing this child. Or whatever it is, he makes a mistake on the bris milah, the child can't stop bleeding, or whatever it might be, now the kid doesn't survive the bris milah. So, yes, I might be a murderer, God forbid, but I was involved in a mitzvah. Or take, for example, we know that you have a Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam is when you have somebody who's Rotzeach B'Shogeg. So what's the halacha? He's supposed to run. The Rotzeach B'Shogeg is supposed to run to the Ir Mikla. On his way to the Ir Mikla, the relative of the one who was killed has every right and responsibility to go and search after him and try to kill him before he gets into the safe zone, before he gets into the Ir Mikla. So what happens? I'm the relative of the person who just died, and now I'm going ahead, running, chasing after the person who is the murderer, and now I catch up to him and I say to myself, hey, I have an opportunity to kill him, I have the gun in my hand, but I'm a Kohen. So now I'm never going to be able to duchen? Is it really worth it? Oh, so I have a chiv to kill him, but now I go ahead and I do what I'm supposed to do, I kill him. So now you're going to tell me I can't duchen anymore? So they say no, the Shulchan Aruch says no, because there I killed him for a Dvar Mitzvah. So some argue over here, the only reason you're doing it is because you're involved in a Mechemes Mitzvah. That's the same as a Moel who makes a mistake. That's the same as a Goel Adam who does what he's supposed to do. If your killing is because of a Dvar Mitzvah, that would not be considered a regular classical definition of killing, and that wouldn't be a problem at all. That's what some suggest. But others suggest, Rav Moshe, what? So David HaMelech is a problem. David HaMelech is a big problem. How do we get around that? And Pinchas also is an issue. What? Yes, so some say it could be because the Beis HaMikdash had to be Mikdusha V'Tahara with, you know, the way it was built in the first place had to be with utmost sensitivity and seriousness, and you couldn't take any chances, even though David HaMelech was, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly. One second. What? Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know, getting out of David HaMelech problem, but either way, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others write, what are you talking about? Tosa says the reason why a Kohen Sharagas HaNefesh is not allowed to duchen is because what? Ein kateger nasa saneger. Says our Moshe Feinstein, Ein lecha saneger gadol mizeh. You're telling me that the prosecutor can't serve as a defendant. He says there's no greater defender of the Jewish people than the person who's going and killing the terrorist. You're going to tell him he's disqualified because Ein kateger nasa saneger, because he's a bad guy, he's on the bad list? What do you mean? This is the person, if I had to choose anybody who should go and give us a bracha, who gives shalom to the Jewish people, that's the one I would choose to put on the pedestal. So says Rav Moshe, Saneger v'Saneger. You can't apply the principle of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. You would say he's allowed to. So leaving all this discussion aside about a modern day chayal and whether Mechemes Mitzvah is allowed to, is enough to allow him to go and duchen, or whether or not you say Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, how can you even think, forgetting about the chayal, let's say you have somebody who's involved in a car accident, goes ahead, nothing to do with the Dvar Mitzvah, goes ahead and kills somebody else, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, but now you have blood on your hands. You're going to tell him you can't tuchen anymore because Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. What do you mean? Our Gemara says the rule is, the only time we apply the principle of Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar is when? Lefnai v'lefnim. So what do you mean? We're duchening in all of our shuls, and Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlaris. What does that have to do with Lefnai v'lefnim? So the answer is as follows. The answer is like any good Achronoshe answer. The answer is that there are two dinim in Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. Two different things that we're talking about here. One is when you have something which is not the Maisa Aveira itself. Not the Chepsa Shel Aveira itself. One kind of Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar is when you have something that just resembles an Aveira that took place a long time ago. When you have something that has some kind of association to an Aveira. For example, the gold that the Kohen Gadol has on his clothing. Is that the gold that they used for the Egel Azov? No, of course not. It's not a first cousin of the gold. There's nothing to do with that gold. What do you think? We saved it and that's what they made the big Dikun out of? Of course not. So what is it? It's just something that has an association with an Aveira. It's something that resembles the Aveira that took place so many years ago. That's one kind of Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. And when we talk about that Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar, of something that is not the Aveira itself, but something rather that just resembles or has an association in our minds with an Aveira that took place, in a case like that, that's a highly sensitive kind of feeling that you have to say, oh, this reminds me of the Egel Hazav. Really? Every time you look at gold, that reminds you? So you know what? We're told the only time you have to have such a heightened sensitivity is when you're in a highly sensitive place. Only when you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim do we say, now you're in a highly sensitive spiritual place, so now all of your sensitivities have to be heightened. And now, you have to be careful as well, even with the Zav, even though this is not the Zav that was used for the Egel HaZav itself so many years ago, but it's something that even resembles, it reminds us, it associates with the Egel HaZav, well here you are in a sensitive place, you got to be extra sensitive. Stay away even from that. But, when you're Bachutz, you don't have to have any reason to stay away from it. That's one kind of Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. Another kind of Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar is when you have the Chefza Shel Aveira itself. When you're using the Chefza Shel Aveira itself. In a case like that, we're going to say Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar poses a problem wherever you are. So take for example, Kohen Shehariges HaNefesh. Those hands themselves, that's not just that it resembles, it reminds us of some association to an Aveira. No! Those are the Maisa Aveira itself. This is how the act of murder was committed, with these hands. You're going to take those same hands that are the murderous hands, and that's what you're going to use for the Birchas Kohanim, for the Duchening. That, says the Gemara, Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar, in a case like that, applies even outside the Beis HaMikdash, wherever you might be, because you cannot use the Chepsa Shel Aveira itself to go ahead and perform the mitzvah, because Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. Take for another example, just to bring the point home. The Parsha of Parah Aduma. So in Parshas Chukas, we're told about the Zos Chukas HaTorah. You have to go ahead and do the whole procedure of a Parah Aduma. There, the whole Parsha is introduced not to Aaron. It's introduced to Elazar, the son of Aaron. Why is that? Because we're told that Aaron HaKohen is the one who was involved in the Egel. So we're not going to tell him to do the Parah Aduma because Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar. So the Mefarshim asks, what do you mean? Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar? What does that have to do with... What does that have to do with the Paraduma? Paraduma is not a carbon that we brought Lefnai v'Lefnim. Paraduma is something that was brought outside. It didn't have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that have to do with Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar? Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar is only a problem Lefnai v'Lefnim. Answer is no. Those hands of Aaron HaKohen that were involved in the Aveira itself, now he's going to be the one to go ahead and do the Paraduma. Enka Teger Nasa Sanegar makes sense there. Because that's the Chefsa Shel Aveira itself. Aaron HaKohen's hands are, Lahavdil, are like the same hands of a Kohen Shehariges HaNefesh. That's the Chefsa Shel Aveira itself, so to speak, and therefore we assume that those would not be able to be used for the sake of the Parah Aduma. What? So how do you deal with Shmini? So maybe you can say like someone else said that over there, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do. And over... What? I don't know.
And you can make the David HaMelech argument even stronger, because he wasn't going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He was going to be in charge of it, but he's not going to be there.
Why not?
Did Shlomo cut the stone?
I think he was involved. I think
he involved in actual...
Involved with your hands. You know, we're told The Gemara says in Kiddushin that Parnish Kivin Shenisman Ala Tzibur Aser Lo Shiyaseh La Melacha B'Fnei Shnayim. It says that if you have somebody who's in a position of leadership, or either a rabbinic leadership or any kind of leadership in a community, he's not supposed to go. If your car needs to be fixed by the mechanic, you shouldn't get under the car and start fixing it, because that's not respectful to the position that you hold. However, it says, Abu Yachol who live in Osmaka, if it comes to building your sukkah or building your makkah or doing a mitzvah, the Chavos Yair even says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chavos Yair, let's say I happen to be a musician, and it's beneath me, because now I'm the rabbi, it's beneath me to go and play music at somebody's wedding. But they happen to like the way I play music, so they want to hire me, says the Chavos Yair, to be the band at their wedding. But you're going to say it's beneath you? So the Chavos Yair says, absolutely not, you can't say that. Because even though you're in a position of leadership, a bottom line, there's a mitzvah to be mesameach hasamekala, there's no reason that you should be embarrassed and think it's beneath you. So the same over here. We have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. I think everyone's supposed to be involved. Don't say, just because I'm the Melech Yisrael, therefore I shouldn't get my hands dirty. No, go get your hands dirty. Go build your own sukkah. Go build your own makkah. And David HaMelech probably would have been involved. Now, there's an interesting question raised from the story of Adam and Chava in Parshas Bereishis. By Adam and Chava, we're told in Parshas Bereishis that they made the mistake of the Eitz Hadas. After the mistake of the Eitz Hadas, what does it say? Vayispru alei te'ena. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes clothing for them out of a te'ena leaf or branch, whatever it might be. Vayasu lahem chaguros. Rashi says over there, why were the clothing made specifically out of alei te'ena? What's so specific, what's so unique about alei te'ena? So Rashi says, because hu ha'eitz she'achlo mimenu. The te'ena is, the mistake that they made was with a te'ena tree, and therefore the clothing was made out of that. Says Rashi, we learn from here, b'davar sheniskalkalu bo niskenu. The best way for you to make up for a mistake that you have made in the past is to go take that very mistake and use it for a mitzvah. So isn't that a contradiction in terms? On the one hand, you say, b'davar sheniskalkalu bo niskenu. Whatever you make the mistake in, you should go and use for a mitzvah, and that's the way you're going to get over it. On the other hand, you say, enka teger nasa senegar. So which rule do we apply? Which principle do we use? Aaron, our kohen, should go ahead and do the parah aduma. And we should say that a kohen shargis hanefesh, no. Drag those hands into the shul, do the nesias kapayim. Even though you know that there's blood on your hands. And kohen gadol, we should say, yeah, you don't want to remind yourself of the egel azav. No, take the zav from the egel azav and schlep it into the kodesh hakadoshim. But davash and eskakulu bo niskenu, wouldn't that make sense? So, I saw an answer in the name of Rab Simcha Zisel Brody that perhaps the reason why is because, yes, we generally have a principle of Enka Teger Nasa Saneger. But when a person is Beinola Beinatzma, when a person is dealing with their own faults and your own mistakes and your own blemishes and your own problems that you have, V'chatasi Negdi Samad, you should remind yourself all the time. And what greater way is there to remind yourself of the mistake that you made than Vayas Lehem Chaguros, to sit and have your clothing made out of that mistake, in order that it will be a constant reminder for you that I always have to do tshuva and I have things to fix in my life and I have to do things that weren't the same as the mistake that I made in the past, and therefore that's why specifically over there the Ribbono Shel Olam goes out of his way to say, that's the way, b'davrshin eskalkulu bo niskenu, you want to really do a sincere tshuva, you want to do it right, the only way to do that is to always have a reminder on yourself that you have made a mistake, and to know that you always have to work yourself toward a better future. I'll call upon him, if we assume that Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar is an issue only Lifnai V'Lifnim, that would also pose another problem, because Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yom Kippur that we have a minig not to wear tachshitin, not to wear any jewelry on Yom Kippur, because Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar. So we shouldn't wear jewelry on Yom Kippur, because that's also going to be like the Chet HaEgel. So isn't that also, that's not Lifnim, that's something that we do outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's not something that we do in the Beis HaMikdash, we all daven in our own shuls, and Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that we shouldn't wear jewelry because it reminds us of the Chet HaEgel. Isn't that the first kind of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? It's just an association. It's something that makes us remind ourselves of something that happened so long ago. Why should that be an issue in all of our shuls? And perhaps the reason for that is because the Beis HaLevi writes that when we talk about tefillah, we have to realize that the same way our Gemara says that shofar is kilifnim dami, tefillah is also kilifnim dami. When a person comes with sincerity, and certainly when you daven on the Yom Naraim, that's something that we should think about the perspective of actually being lifnai v'lifnim. It's as if we're having an experience, an encounter inside of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And in a case like that, that's something that we really need to be concerned about. Even the jewelry, even the tachshitim, which will remind just an association, because tefillah is also kilifnim dami. Even if you don't accept this chiddush of the Beis HaLevi, even if you don't say that tefillah is kilifnim dami, let's just close with a insight of Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian, where he suggests that even though we say that tefillah might not be kilifnim dami, even though we daven in all of our shuls and we're not in the Beis HaMikdash and we know that we're not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but bottom line, he says, we said before that when you have the Chepsa Shel Aveira itself, that cannot be used even outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he writes that when we talk about our mouths that are used for all the Lashon Hara that we speak and all the terrible things that we say and all the rechilas and everything we're involved in all year, then we're going to use that same mouth for our davening. That's the Chefsa Shel Aveira. So Rabbi Lapian says, we have to think about the fact that even if our tefillah is not kilif nimdami, even if it's kibachutz, even if we think that we're davening just in our own shuls, in our own communities, and we're not connected to the Beis HaMikdash, but bottom line, he says, en kateger nasa senegar will pose a major problem with regard to that same mouth. How can you use the same mouth that is the Chefsa Shel Aveira? How can you use that for the Chefsa Shel Mitzvah of tefillah? So anyway, that's something that emerges from our sugya this week. Mirtz Hashem, we will continue next week.